When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Offseason, a show covering the Miami Dolphins, the NFL, pop culture, drinking culture, and of course, professional wrestling. Now, here are your hosts, Alf Artiaga, and myself, Eric Baird.
And we're on, and this is the final The Offseason with Marek Brave and myself, Alf Artiaga. It's a show we do. Next year, we're going to do it all offseason. We're going to do it a little bit longer. This year, we only did it for, I believe it's 11 weeks. I think this is week 12. Is that correct, Merrick?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine, but time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah. And we're gonna finish up with another wrestling topic at the end of this, and we're going to talk a lot of wrestling, but we're going to leave with something else. By the way, if you want to listen to these shows live, and trust me, I'm going to have my camp report starting on Tuesday. We're going to talk a little camp as well. And you want to listen to these camp reports live, you want to listen to these type of shows live, you can go to our Discord. You go to discord.gg/onlyfins and you become a member there for $3 a month. All right, Marek. Jeremy Fowler said the thing. He goes on TV on a Friday, as he's wont to do. And he says, oh, yeah, it's happening. It's going to happen. An extension is going to happen. Everybody keeps saying that an extension is going to happen. But he dropped in there at the end. Oh, but they're not close. Which kind of contradicts what others have said. And I go ahead and tell you that it contradicts something I've heard.
Ooh, interesting, Alf. I know you're kind of guarded with this insider information at times. You got a vetted tier as part of this Discord, a little bit extra cash. Can you divulge a little bit to our listeners out here? Can you let us know what you're hearing that is going against this Jeremy Fowler report that Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins aren't close to an extension yet?
Well, I would say that not being close would suggest that they're probably not going to get it done. And I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. We shall see if it happens. Today's a Friday. We'll see if it happens on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. Tuesday begins camp. Ooh. And Tuesday begins all the questions every single day of everybody in the building, including the head coach. And then on Wednesday, Tua will speak, because he speaks every single Wednesday to the media. So we shall see. There's a little bit of time.
And you'll be there.
And I will be there. I will be there for the duration. I will be in Tampa for the joint practices. So, in our Discord, in our vetted tier, there's a little bit more information, but I can tell you they're working on it. And there's a few more details that I will reveal when it actually happens. And remember, all our posts on our Discord are timestamped, so I'll reveal those when it happens, but they're working on it. Let's just say that it's supposed to happen. Let's just leave it at that.
So if I'm reading between the lines here, Alf, and this is me saying it, not you saying it, you can't get in trouble, and I don't have these inside sources that you do. It almost sounds like you're telling me that we should expect to hear some news or see some news come across the old Twitter timeline in the next couple days. Or at the very least, we shouldn't be surprised if it comes across the timeline here in the next couple days.
Yes, as Cameron Wolf was on a show, and he responded to the question. He says that both sides, and usually when this happens, when both sides want something, it usually happens. He says both sides want something done before camp starts. Camp starts on a Tuesday. So I'm reading between the lines, I would say something happens from now until Tuesday.
Your gut feeling, Alf, when it gets done, will Tua become the highest paid quarterback in NFL history?
By the yearly APY, average per year, the answer is yes.
And how many people will shit their pants when they see that?
Oh, it'll be all of Twitter, but, you know, who cares? You know, it's...
Fuck them.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, pretty soon they start playing the games, and then, you know, what are they going to do? Then they got to resort to gaslighting people, you know?
I saw somebody put this in the 3 yards per carry patron chat earlier, not too long ago. Tua Tagovailoa was tied for second with Dak Prescott for the most games passing for 225 yards or more in the 2023 season. The only quarterback, he did that 13 times, by the way. Both he and Dak did that 13 times. The only quarterback to do it more than Tua and or Dak was Patrick Mahomes? No.
No.
Josh Allen?
No.
No. Lamar Jackson? No. It was Jared Goff.
Yes. And
Jared Goff.
And in my opinion, I think Jared Goff's contract is the baseline. Not Trevor Lawrence's contract. That's a fake. That's one of the more fake contracts that have been signed as of late. They have an out in 3 years. I don't think that's what Tua will sign. And I think Trevor Lawrence is getting $142 million guaranteed. I think that's south of the number that Tua wants to sign on the dotted line for. So I think it's happening. Alf,
and I hope you're right. I'm a big Tua supporter myself. I do think this offense was built around Tua Tagovailoa. So if you're going to build an entire offense around Tua, why aren't you going to keep Tua, the guy who runs the offense, who allows you to have the number one offense in the NFL, despite being ranked as the 14th best quarterback in the NFL by executives, coaches, and scouts in this ESPN poll? Speaking of Jeremy Fowler, this poll was conducted by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Is Tua the 14th best quarterback in the NFL, Alf?
No, that's only in the absolute worst case scenario. If you give him no benefit of any doubt, he's the 14th guy, but he's not.
Let me list the quarterbacks ahead of him, Alf, okay. And you tell me. I'll give you the top 10, and then I'll even give you the three honorable mentions that were listed ahead of Tua, and you tell me who he's ahead of. So number one, Patrick Mahomes, not going to get a lot of arguments there. Number two was Joe Burrow. Three, Josh Allen. Four, Lamar Jackson. Five, Matthew Stafford. I think I have a little bit of an argument there. Six, Justin Herbert. I think we all have an argument there. Seven, C.J. Stroud. And I like C.J. Stroud, but it's 1 year, your rookie year. Eight, Aaron Rodgers. I do have a problem with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is old, and he's coming off of an Achilles tear. So any knock you can have on Tua Tagovailoa regarding injuries, you can have the same things to say about Aaron Rodgers there. Plus, he's literally ancient. He might as well be wrapped up like a mummy and put in a sarcophagus and buried in a tomb somewhere. Number nine, Jared Goff. We've talked about Jared Goff a little bit. I like Jared Goff, but when you watch Jared Goff play, sometimes he looks like a baby deer taking his first steps. You know, he's got like knocked knees and he's not athletic. People knock on Tua for not being super athletic, but I think Tua is infinitely more athletic than Jared Goff is. So I'd probably rank Tua above Goff. I know Goff took his team to the NFC Championship game, held a multi-touchdown halftime lead over the San Francisco 49ers. They did blow that game and didn't advance to the Super Bowl, but it's the NFC, Alf. If the Dolphins were in the NFC, they'd be playing in the NFC Championship game against the San Francisco 49ers as well. Like, it's not a strong conference.
Can you imagine Tua playing in a dome, playing at least 8 games every year in a dome?
I saw Tua play in Detroit against the Lions, and he looked like a world beater. It was amazing. I went to that game. It was, I actually played catch with Teddy Bridgewater before that game, so that was kind of fun. Number 10, Dak Prescott. You know, he's a pretty good player.
Yes.
I think you can go either way on that one. And then you get into the honorable mentions. So at 11, they had Brock Purdy. I really feel like Brock Purdy and Tua Tagovailoa are pretty much the same guy.
Yeah, and I would even give Brock Purdy the edge.
You know, and as an Iowa guy myself, you know, Purdy played at Iowa State, so we're Hawkeye fans on my side of the state. But, you know, we root for our Iowa boys. Jordan Love at number 12. I have a problem with that one. Jordan Love had a good, not even just a good, he had a great 10-game stretch at the end of last season. What was it, 18 touchdowns to one interception? That's phenomenal. But it's a 10-game stretch. Do it for longer than that, and then we can put you ahead of some of these guys who've been doing it a little bit longer than you. So I frankly rank Tua above Jordan Love. I know Brian Flores has a problem with that, but do you, Alf?
Yes. Tua should be ahead of Jordan Love. Jordan Love did it for 8 to 9 games maybe, and sprinkled in that 8-9 game stretch was a couple of stinkers like the one against the Giants. So
And then the last quarterback ranked above Tua is Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is a phenomenal athlete. I don't know if he's a better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa.
No, and he was bad last year. I made my own quarterback list, okay? And I update this thing every single year, and then I update it at midseason. And I did it by tiers, and my tiers are the elite, the franchise guys, the starters. And sometimes you're going to see a guy in the starters that you're going to say, wait a minute, but that guy's better than some of the guys in the franchise guys. Well, the guys in the starters either don't have extensions, have injury histories, or they're on the way out. For example, I got my top starter is Kirk Cousins. He's bouncing around. He's not a franchise guy. I got Stafford number 2. He's about to retire in a couple of years, and they're not going to extend him. He floated out there, I believe it was last year, signing a 2-year extension, and they didn't give it to him. So Stafford should be retiring soon. I put Mayfield in there. Mayfield's a really good player. But do you think that the Bucs are going to have him there for the next 10 years? I'm not so certain. Rodgers is near retirement, so he's in there as well. And then the fourth tier that I put was we don't know anything yet. And then the last tier was these guys suck. Okay? So my quarterback list goes as the following, and this is all in order. The elite, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and that's it. Those are your elite quarterbacks.
The franchise, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay. The franchise guys begin with Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, C.J. Stroud, Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa. So that makes him the 8th best quarterback in the league. Although, if we're including starters, I will put Stafford ahead of him. Okay. But we're not, because we're only doing the franchise guys. Continuing with the franchise guys behind Tua, I have Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, and Jalen Hurts. And in the starters, I got Cousins, Stafford, Mayfield, Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Geno Smith, Derek Carr, and Will Levis. In the we don't know anything yet, I have Richardson, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Penix, May, Bryant Young, Bryce Young, J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix. And these guys suck. I got Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Daniel Jones, Bailey Zappi, Tommy DeVito, Justin Fields, Joe Flacco. And not that Joe Flacco is absolutely terrible, but he's a backup quarterback. Sam Howell, Tyrod Taylor, Sam Darnold, Kevin O'Connell, or Aiden O'Connell, and as the worst quarterback available to me in these tiers list, I put Zach Wilson.
Yes, good call on that one.
Okay, so yeah, what's my, if you look at that, what's my worst case scenario for Tua? Well, I have him at 8 right here, right? So his worst case scenario is around 9, 10, 11. I have him at 11 is his worst case scenario on my list. And that's with Stafford jumping him and then putting Goff over him is the only guy that I would put ahead of him outside of the, you know, of the guys that are that I have directly behind them. So, look, we have until Tuesday. This thing should get done. There is no reason to have this drag on past Tuesday. I will be there on Tuesday. I expect to have a shiny brand new quarterback. Look, he's speaking on Wednesday to the media. At least that was the plan. That's been the plan for the last 2 years. I don't know why they would change it this year. So if he's going to speak on Wednesday, it would make sense for him to have a brand new contract. There is nothing to talk about at this point. There's more reporting on it on our Discord, which is at discord.gg/OnlyFans. But I'll leave it with this. There is nothing to talk about. Nothing else to talk about. The numbers are the numbers. The market is the market. And they'll either meet it or they won't. Simple as that. I'm guessing since everybody wants a deal done, it'll happen. So I'd stay tuned. You know, I put notifications on for ESPN on your phone if I were you. That's what I would say.
Very interesting. I like the sound of that, Alf. And I like the sound of that a lot better than Jeremy Fowler over here.
And as far as how surprised I would be absolutely floored. And I'm talking about shocked, dismayed, bewildered, bamboozled.
Flabbergasted.
If they line up, what's the first game again? It's Atlanta, right? The first preseason game?
Preseason?
Yes. Yeah. If he does not have a contract by that game.
All right. I like the sound of that, Alf.
In fact, you know what? If he doesn't have a contract by those practices that week, the joint practices that week. Okay. Ooh. So that's your second. Because I remember that I said that the second hard deadline was the first preseason game. I'll change it. I'll say right before those joint practices. You're going to want him to participate 11-on-11 against the Falcons for those joint practices. So I'll move up the deadline a little bit from the first preseason game to right before the joint practices against the Falcons. I will be absolutely floored if he does not have a contract by then. And as far as the parameters for that contract, I already told you. It's going to look nice and pretty. That APY is going to be very nice and fat and big. All right. I think I revealed enough. No?
Well, we had some other Dolphins news, Alf. We got some players landing on the NFI, the non-football injury list in Savon Ahmed, and then the physically unable to perform list, the PUP, Isaiah Wynn, and then the obvious ones, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips. What can you tell us about Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips? You know, should we be worried about this at all, Alf, or is this just procedure? Jalen Phillips has been posting some really impressive videos on his social media, looking real good. He's even been talking about the girth of his calf on the injured Achilles there, and how we shouldn't be alarmed that his calf looks a little smaller than normal, because that might not ever come back. You know, certainly not this quickly, at least. How worried should we be about all four of these guys, but very particularly Chubb and Phillips there?
One thing to note, when he says, oh, I got all my strength there, the Dolphins will have a way of measuring that, and they do it all the time, especially with guys that hurt their knees or their Achilles or any really soft tissue injury. Like, they can test the strength in any one of those, because they have like baseline readings. They know how strong it was before. So I would not be, what's the word, concerned because of a picture, because it's, you know, his calf doesn't look right. I would not be concerned over that. It's entirely possible, and he said so as well on Twitter, that his calf may not look right, but it might have the exact same strength as it did before. So, you know, I would not be too concerned. Another reason why some players would start training camp on the PUP list, the conditioning test. Is it possible that Isaiah Wynn did not pass his conditioning test? That's a possibility. Do I have information on
that's
that?
That's happened before, right?
It's happened before. It's happened. It actually happens often. There's always two players that are inexplicably in the PUP list early in camp, and usually it's because they failed the conditioning test. I don't have information on that as far as Isaiah Wynn, but I can reveal it's nothing serious. Nothing believed to be serious. He should be back shortly. The Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips thing, Cameron Good is all self-explanatory. These guys are coming off major injuries. Stands to reason, you know. July 23rd is not very important. What's important is once you get into August and you're careening toward September, that's when it's important. These guys don't need, you know, the first few days of camp. You know, it makes sense for them to be acclimated to this before they actually are suiting up and participating on 11-on-11 or on, you know, in individual drills. So those are the ones that caught my eye as far as nothing, you know, nothing really out of the ordinary, really. All of it was expected. The only one that, you know, that was kind of unexpected was the Isaiah Wynn thing. But if you know Isaiah Wynn's history, you know, you shouldn't be surprised.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're starting on Tuesday. I'm anxious as well. I'm like Tua. I'm anxious to get this thing going. You know, but yeah, one last thing on the Tua contract. Again, there's nothing to talk about. You know what that means. All right. How much wrestling have you been watching,
Mark? I didn't get to watch a ton of wrestling this week. I'm just going to be honest, but I did see the major stories, right? The major points here. You know, saw the stuff that was going on with the Dominic Mysterio, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan storyline. You saw that AEW gave away a 60-minute match between Will Ospreay and MJF for free on television, which is never great business, but I do understand they're trying to pop their television ratings because they are up for a new deal, and they're shopping that to new networks, so I can understand that, but you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. They do their thing, and I don't understand a lot of it, so...
Are you beginning to get a little bit concerned with this Wyatt 6 angle? Like, where is this thing going?
I mean, with these supernatural, these paranormal type situations, I think I'm always kind of concerned. Like, what are you going to do with this? Because it's a fine line to walk. Are we gonna cross into hokey and corny, or is it gonna stay macabre and cool? You know what I mean? Is it going to be, you know, like a cheesy slasher horror film like Friday the 13th, or is it gonna be a cool, mysterious type horror film like Interview with a Vampire? You know what I mean? Like, where are we going with this? You tell me, Alf. How do you feel as a fan of the product? How do you feel about the Wyatt 6 so far?
I fear that the contrast is going to hurt it, because you have Seth, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre in probably the feud of the year, because I don't even think that the Avengers versus the Bloodline is as hot as this one. Okay. Like, this thing could go any which way. Like, you could get any combination of any of those three guys, or put them all three together, and it's going to be a big event. Right. So, and all three guys are great on the mic. So, my fear is the contrast. Contrast that with the Bloodline versus the Avengers. Makes sense, right? And, you know, it's hot. It's a good angle. Then you get to this, and, man, they have so much explaining to do. First of all, Chad Gable is absolutely deftly afraid of these people, right? But somehow Corey Graves and Michael Cole are not. Or Pat, at least Pat McAfee sells it a little bit. Pat McAfee says this is weird, you know, like he right. mentions it. But every single week they deliver a box with another VHS tape. First of all, they could just send I don't know if they want to send a GIF, but maybe they could send like, you know, digital files. Like, you know, why do you have to send a VHS tape? First of all, who the hell has a VHS tape? How fast?
Do you have a VCR anymore, Alf?
No, I haven't had one in 30 years, maybe. Okay,
maybe 30 is a bit much, but yeah.
But seriously, like, let's say you're ringside with Corey Graves and Michael Cole, and this person comes up to you and gives you a VHS tape. You just stare at it, and I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with this?
Right. I gotta hit up a pawn shop.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do here with this. Like, if I give this to the truck, they're gonna stare at me like, "What do you want us to do with this?"
Right.
You know? But somehow they always manage to play it, you know? And it is a multi, you know, billion-dollar corporation, so it stands to reason that they're gonna have a VCR somewhere laying around, right?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned because it seems to be going in no place. They also announced themselves with the worst entrance music in the history of the sport. Okay? It's just one note on a piano.
Right.
And they evidently have smoke machines. You know? So they're spooky people with great production, you know?
Yeah, and I was a bit concerned with the debut of the Wyatt Six because it did feel like I was entering, you know, a haunted house at Halloween time, you know, where people were like, "Boo, aren't we scary?" And it's like, I mean, I guess kind of. And you got people's blood like splattered all over the wall and everything like that, and that's a bit too much for wrestling, you know, because
Yeah.
at the end of the day, you're not going to kill someone, right? We're not going to cross that line.
Yeah,
you're not going to actually
at what point,
commit
like,
murder.
At what point, if you're at work, right, and, you know, Chad Gable is working here, right? Like, he works at these events. Like, he's booked in these events. He's drawing a paycheck. He's getting on a plane or in a car. He's driving to these arenas because he has these dates to make, right? At what point do you arm yourself because these creepy weirdos are following you from city to city to terrorize you, right?
He's got a gun.
Yes, right? Like, at some point, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not going. Or I'm suing you, Hunter. Like, at what point does
it's
Chad
unsafe
Gable
working
sue?
Environment.
Yeah, unsafe working environment. At what point does Chad Gable just sue Triple H and just say, "Look, you're asking me to go from city to city, and these people, these creepy weirdos, are showing up in every single city." Now, what if Chad Gable takes out a restraining order? Then the White Six can't show up, right? Or they get arrested. Would the cops even arrest them? Because we've already shown how the White Six showed up, and all of security was laid out. So they're assaulting the security. I don't know. This place could,
you
this,
maybe,
this could this would go into wrong into bad places here.
Yeah, trying to apply too much logic to pro wrestling never works out. So, I mean, we'll keep watching. It's still early enough, you know. That's the thing about pro wrestling. There's no off season. These storylines go on forever and always, and we'll have to see what they do with it. But you're right. You know, they very easily could cross over into hokey, corny, cheesy territory, and that could alienate some viewers. So it's a fine line. You know, you have to walk that line and try not to come across looking dumb. And we'll see if they're able to do it. I'm interested to see what goes on at SummerSlam. We're only a couple weeks away from SummerSlam, a little earlier in August than I remember it being. But, you know, we'll have to see what goes on with those guys when we get to the big show, the big dance here, and it's coming up.
Are there any matches? Do you have any matches confirmed for that show yet, or no?
Well, much like you have some inside info on that premium vetted tier, I got some inside info that I am also not allowed to divulge or share. But that hot feud you were just talking about, feud of the summer here,
yes,
between Seth and Drew and Punk. I have some inside info as to what that's going to end up looking like at SummerSlam, but I don't necessarily know the outcome. And quite frankly, there are some things up in the air regarding that right now. And I'll leave you with that because I can't get into it too much. But there's some behind-the-scenes stuff going down right now that could cause plans to change at the last minute.
All right. Now, I don't talk politics, but I got to mention this since we're talking wrestling. Did you see Hulk Hogan cut a promo at the Republican National Convention?
Dom V63 is mentioning it here in the questions off to the side here. He says, "Did you see the Hulkamania last night, brother?" Old Terry Bollea said that Donald Trump was tougher than anybody that he ever faced in the ring. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that that's probably not true.
At one point, they had three speakers in a row that took the Stone Cold Stunner in WWE. Because somebody posted it, I'm like, man, I don't remember. And then I'm like, yes, I do remember it. They said that Linda McMahon took the Stone Cold Stunner. And I remember,
yes.
I remember that she took the worst Stone Cold Stunner in the history of Stone Cold Stunners.
No,
but I admire it. You know what I mean? Oddly enough, I remember Donald Trump taking the Stone Cold Stunner, and it looked good. You know what I mean? It looked like an old guy taking a Stone Cold Stunner, you know?
Exactly right.
Like, it looked precisely how it's supposed to look, you know?
You know? Yep.
And he sold it. He sold it good. He sold it like he was paralyzed, you know? The problem is, all of a sudden you see him and he's in a commercial and then he's running for president, you know? So evidently he wasn't paralyzed. But the Attitude Era, you have to suspend all disbelief, you know, for some of those events. That was the fun of it, you know? But it was insane that it's taken, you know, over 200 years in the Republic to finally get to what they should have been doing all along, just having competing wrestlers cut promos at their respective conventions.
I love that.
You know? And think about it. Then you have a big match like in October, a month before the election. You draw money, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So who do you got cutting promos for Joe Biden and the Democratic National Convention? Who's doing those?
Well, it has to be somebody that's kind of politically aligned, right? So you would have to think CM Punk, right? Like, he's kind of there, right?
Yeah, I would say CM Punk leans left. I was going to go with somebody who maybe matches Joe Biden's energy or lack thereof, and I was going to say Bob Backlund. How's that sound?
Is Bob Backlund even alive?
I think he is. I actually don't think Bob Backlund is as old as we think he is, just because he always appeared old. He's 74. Bob Backlund's 74 years old. So and Joe Biden.
Somebody in the chat is saying that The Rock is a Dem. He spoke at the Republican National Convention in 2000.
Yeah, I would imagine The Rock is a Republican, actually.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sport. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, he's
rich. You get a lot of these wrestling fans that want The Rock to run for president, you know, like, we don't need Trump, we need The Rock. And I'm like, I think The Rock, you know, aligns with Trump more than you think he does.
Dom says that he endorsed Biden in 2020. So, yeah, that would make him a Dem, right?
Well, let's check. Oh, apparently, I'm seeing something on Vanity Fair right now. Is Dwayne The Rock Johnson turning to the right? The wrestler turned actor and entrepreneur turned his back on President Biden and attacked woke culture in a Fox News interview.
Oh boy, he's doing Fox News interviews. Then yeah, they put him on the board of that company TKO, and now yep, he belongs to them.
Maybe they confused The Rock and Kid Rock.
Maybe, I don't know.
He said he will be keeping his 2024 presidential election vote to himself after he did endorse Joe Biden in 2020. So he said,
okay,
he
so that is definitely not Kid Rock. That is definitely not Kid Rock, because he told the convention last night that if you don't vote for Trump, you can do something to him. And I won't say the words that he said, that you could do something to him. All right.
So as a high schooler, middle schooler / high schooler, when Kid Rock broke out, you know, with Ball with the Ball and Cowboy and all those hits, I was a huge Kid Rock guy growing up. And then, you know, obviously he turned country and kind of just became a dork, and I wasn't a big fan of Kid Rock. My girlfriend's dad, who's like 65 years old, fucking loves Kid Rock. And last time I was in his car, he was like, yo, what do you listen to? And I was naming a couple bands he'd never heard of, and he was like, well, how about Kid Rock? And I was, you know, trying to placate him a little bit, and I'm like, well, you know, yeah, I liked Kid Rock back in the day, you know, 25 years ago at this point. And he was like, oh, I love Kid Rock. And he put on like some of his newer shit. And I was like, holy fuck, can we get out of this car? Like, I can't stand this shit.
Yeah. Oddly enough, Kid Rock's band is really, really, really good. But, you know, his music is
Trucker Band.
Yeah. That's a really good band. But his music is stuck in 1998, man.
Yeah. Not a fan anymore.
Yeah. Well, every single one of these shows, we do some type of list, right? And
yes, we do.
You know, and it's been kind of fun. Instead of just, you know, coming to the show armed with a list, we built it, right? And it's top 10, and we're going to go top 10 managers in wrestling history, okay?
You've been wanting to do this for a while, Alf, so let's do it. Our last show of 2024, before you get on to bigger and better things, top 10 managers in wrestling history.
Yeah, and this is not probably the last time you're going to hear Marek Brave. Remember, for the month, well, for the rest of until Jaguars week, OnlyFans Q&A Live will not be on the air, because the camp reports are going to be on the air, and those go on daily throughout camp. If there's a camp day, Dolphins are practicing, I will be at it, and then an hour later, you will hear me on the air delivering a camp report. But for the off season, who knows? Maybe Marek Brave shows up every once in a while for some of those Q&A live shows during the regular
season. Absolutely. I will certainly hop on those.
All right. So let's start. Look, I'm going to make a bold prediction that 1 and 2 are absolute mega locks, and there's nothing anybody can do to remove number 1 and number 2. Do you want to propose them, or I propose them? Because I think I'm pretty confident you'll have the same number 1 and number 2 as I do.
We may have the same guys. I'm wondering if they'll be in the same order, though.
Okay, that could be a problem. I'm going to go out. Let me ask you this, okay, to see if we put them in the same order. Is Bobby Heenan in your top 1 or 2?
Yes, sir.
Is Paul Heyman in your top 1 or 2?
Yes, sir. You nailed it.
Okay, I'll go ahead and tell you. I got Bobby Heenan number 1. I got Paul Heyman number 2. And I have him for his entire body of work, really. Paul Heyman is pretty much, when he was with WCW, the Dangerous Alliance, it was absolutely spectacular. His work in the WWE is legendary. Even some of his work in ECW, he was kind of a manager, if you think about it, because he was a big advocate of Taz at one time and Rob Van Dam. So, yeah, pretty much his entire wrestling career as a manager qualifies. So those are my number 1 and 2. What's your number 1 and 2?
My number 1 is Paul Heyman, okay. And my number 2 is Bobby Heenan. I'm just a big Paul Heyman guy. I just love the way he talks. I love how you believe everything he does, right? And you're getting a good taste of this right now with the Bloodline stuff and watching his reaction to Solo Sikoa taking over the Bloodline. And, you know, Heyman still has allegiance to to Roman Reigns, and he, you know, obviously they just took out Paul Heyman. All of that stuff was just great, and that's just par for the course for Paul Heyman. He's just such a fantastic entity within pro wrestling, and that's why I had to go with him number one. But I won't argue with you. You know, you putting Bobby the Brain up there at number one. I have him as a close second, but you know, I'd be fine flip flopping these guys. But they both deserve to be at the top of this list, and we agree on that.
All right, now we got to fill out the rest of the list. We got to fill out 3 through 10. I'll throw out some names, and then you tell me what you think of them.
Sure.
Okay. J.J. Dillon with the Four Horsemen.
Big fan of J.J. Dillon.
Or too short of a run.
You know, it's not as long as some of the other guys, but, I mean, it's hard to argue against how iconic the Four Horsemen were and still are to this day. And when was the last time you saw the Four Horsemen do anything on television? But still, everybody knows when you hold up those four fingers in a pro wrestling ring, everybody knows exactly who you're talking about. And, you know, Ric Flair, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and J.J. Dillon was leading him. He wrote a book. I've read that book. It's a very good book. If you get a chance to read it, go check it out. J.J. Dillon did. But yeah, I mean, as manager of the Four Horsemen, that's a pretty solid choice there. I think I do have him on my list as well. It's a little bit further down the list. You know, I don't have him in my top five, but I do think he belongs in a top 10 for sure.
Okay, so would you agree? Let's just put him at number 10. Let's lock him in at number 10 so we can't move him out. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm keeping him in my top 10 for sure.
Okay, let's put him at number 10. Now, one I will insist on being from 3 to 9, Sensational Sherri, her work with Harlem Heat, her work with Shawn Michaels, enough said. Agree?
Yeah, I agree. You don't have to... You don't have to convince me too much on Sensational Sherri. And we just, I assume you watched it as well, her Dark Side of the Ring. Mm-hmm. You know, it was sad. Obviously, her son is going through his own health issues right now. But she gave her life, literally gave her life to the professional wrestling business.
Mm-hmm.
And of females in the business at the time that she was in the business, there weren't too many who were taken as seriously as Sensational Sherri was taken. So I definitely have Sensational Sherri in my top 10. And in fact, I have her in my top 5 ranked as number 5. So I agree with you there, Alf.
All right. And I'm going to agree with you as well. Let's put her at number 5.
All right. I got one for you. And it was actually mentioned over here. We got Dom V63 again. Who was Undertaker's manager?
Oh, Paul Bearer.
Well, that was Paul Bearer. And I got Paul Bearer on my list as well. Old...
Percy Pringle.
Manager Percy Pringle, yes, sir. manager of The Undertaker, but also very, very good manager for Mankind.
Yes.
And Kane as well. Yeah. So he's not Kane. Just The Undertaker.
Yes. Who could forget him screaming into the microphone, "It's Kane, Undertaker, it's Kane." And Undertaker with a look on his face like, "What the hell are you saying to me?" You know, like, "My God, that guy's supposed to be dead." Now that, you know, how great was that? That was supernatural stuff done well. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly right.
But it was believable. You had this maniac that set fire to a house, and it was vague. You don't know if he killed their family or not. You know what I mean? It's just vague. You just know that a fire started, you know?
Very well done. Very, very well done.
You know, it was mysterious. Like, this guy could be a homicidal maniac, arsonist. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he could not be as well. You know, he could just be a disturbed giant guy. Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think of Paul Bearer? Like, he's absolutely in the top 10. It's an iconic era.
Yeah.
And the run was massive. I think it was like a 4 or 5 year run for Paul Bearer. The best days
of
The Undertaker.
Maybe even longer than that.
And it was the best run that the WWE had. It was essentially the run that ended WCW. So, and ushered in the Monopoly era. So I will
reveal I have Paul Bearer in my top 5, but if we go Heyman 1 and Heenan 2 on my list and Sherri 5, actually don't have Paul Bearer at number 3. I have him at number 4, and that's because I think you might agree on this, Alf. I got a guy at number 3 that's undeniable, one of the greatest managers of all time, and that's Jim Cornette.
I'm a huge fan of his. Now, he's absolutely insane, okay, if you listen to his show. Yeah. But that's part of what makes him great. He's a wrestling genius. Like, he knows the sport. He knows what how to put on a show. Wildly successful, and absolutely, you know, his work with the Midnight Express, his work with, even when he came to the WWE with Yokozuna, Jim Cornette, the tennis racket, it's iconic. It's absolutely iconic. And
yep. Owen Hart, Vader, British Bulldog, all those guys.
Yeah, and, you know, it might be even a great idea to just, you know, for a Halloween costume, all I need is really a tennis racket and, like, a red suit with, like,
yeah,
white
suit.
Yeah, white pants and a yellow shirt or a yellow tie with a pink tie. A pink tie with a yellow shirt or a pink shirt with a yellow tie. It just has to be really odd. You know what I mean?
Yep, simple.
And he played it all. He was the heel manager. He was the chicken shit manager. He was great. He was absolutely great. Now, yep. Let's disqualify some people because we have to, okay?
Okay.
All right. Miss Elizabeth, one real client, Randy Savage, happened to be her husband. I don't know. I don't think she's a manager. I think she's a valet. Although she did get involved in some matches, but I think she's a valet, right?
Yeah, I agree, Alf. I have her on my honorable mention just because it's hard to talk top managers without mentioning her. But yes, I agree. I lean more towards Miss Elizabeth as a valet, much like Stacy Keibler.
Yes,
was a valet. Even Chyna was a valet slash bodyguard type. I wouldn't even consider Chyna a manager per se. But yeah, I can't list Miss Elizabeth in my top 10 because, yeah, more of a valet, more of a pretty face, you know. And she was beautiful. She was a gorgeous woman. Just so elegant, so classy with the dresses and the gloves and everything like that. But not top 10 for me.
All right. Now, here's another one that we might have to disqualify. Sunny. I remember her manager run basically just being her being eye candy at ringside. I don't remember her actually doing much.
And what eye candy it was. Maybe the most beautiful woman to ever grace a professional wrestling ring. Sunny was amazing.
She's in prison now, rotting away in prison, by the way.
Sure, yeah. She's turned into an awful human being, and I've actually had numerous experiences with Sunny. I've been on numerous shows with her over the past 20 years, and I'm just going to come out and say it. She's an absolute piece of shit. She's always been a piece of shit. She's a piece of shit to this day, and so she definitely doesn't make my top 10 list, but I would also classify her as more of a valet than anything else.
All right, now let's put some people in. Any manager's list has to have the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Mouth of the South. I just spent some time with him, I would say about 3 or 4 months ago, and he was just very pleasant to deal with, always been a great dude. But yeah, absolutely phenomenal manager as well. Obviously, he spent time managing the Hulkster, and he still goes everywhere to this day with the Hulkster.
His Hart Foundation stuff was
Hart Foundation,
the best.
Yes.
Yes.
Honky Tonk Man.
Absolutely. And
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
And with the Honky Tonk Man, he turned more of a heel manager than the chicken shit, because he was always the chicken shit manager, right? Always running from the baby faces. But with the Honky Tonk Man, you know, he held the guitar. Who fed the Honky Tonk Man the guitar for the guitar shot? It was Jimmy Hart. So that whole Intercontinental title run, which lasted about 1 year until the Ultimate Warrior beat him in, what was it, 13 seconds or something like that.
And Jimmy Hart actually wrote a lot of people's theme songs.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the Honky Tonk Man's theme song. He wrote Shawn Michaels' Sexy Boy theme song. Jimmy Hart, I believe, I'm trying to look this up right now. Jimmy Hart, before he got into wrestling, had a song on like the top, the Billboard top 100. I'm trying to figure out which song that was, but yeah, very accomplished musician in addition to being an accomplished manager.
Now,
let's see if I can find this here.
Let's put Jimmy Hart at number six. Agree?
Yeah, I can go with Hart at number six.
Now I'm gonna
I'm looking at my list right now, and he is number six. So absolutely.
Now I'm gonna give you one that unfortunately is remembered just for his run on MTV and in a Cyndi Lauper video. But what if I told you that there was a man who managed the British Bulldogs, the Blackjacks, the Valiant Brothers, the Wild Samoans, and I made this list. Think about this, okay? Greg the Hammer Valentine, Don Morocco, and Pat Patterson. Come on.
Andre the Giant, the Wild Samoans.
Yes, Ivan Koloff.
You can keep going.
Yeah, he managed Ivan Koloff to defeat Bruno Sammartino's 7-year reign as WWE champion. So his client list is as good as anybody's in the history of the sport. So how can we not put Captain Lou Albano? And come on, you know, how original is it to put rubber bands in your beard?
Right? And not even just in your beard, in your cheeks. He was like piercing his cheeks with... with, like, safety pins.
Yeah. No, and he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt and shorts. Come on, at ringside. This thing works, okay?
He was a madman, but he was great.
Yeah. So what do you think of Captain Lou? 7, 8, and 9 is what's available.
Yeah, I'll put Captain Lou at 7. I really will.
All right. So Captain Lou gets number 7. Now, this is where it gets rough. 8 or 9. What are we doing with Paul Ellering? Really one client.
I love Paul Ellering.
One client that matters because they still have not caught on with the Authors of Pain yet.
No.
I thought they would. They haven't. Okay? And he's not cutting promos, which was his, you know, it was his forte with the Road Warriors. I love the whole aesthetic of it. Holding the Wall Street Journal in your hands. And then evidently the Wall Street Journal became loaded. He was putting something inside the Wall Street Journal as he hit people over the head.
Everything's loaded in pro wrestling. I love that.
So I don't know, that's a rough one. There's only 2 spots. What do you think?
I believe he belongs on the list, but I think I'm in agreement with you just because he didn't have as extensive of a career managing the top guys. Although I mean, Animal and Hawk, Road Warriors, it's hard to argue against those guys. They were one of the greatest tag teams of all time. So I'm putting him on the list, but I'm going to keep him rather low. I think on my list, I had Paul Ellering actually at number 10. So I'd have no problem with leaving him at number 9 on the official list here.
All right. Now let's disqualify some great ones. Marlena, the whole aesthetic worked with Goldust.
Yeah.
But no. Okay. She can't be in here. You agree?
Yeah, again, even probably more of a valet than anything else.
Yeah.
It was just the time period.
Michael Hayes with the Hardy Boys originally. Too short of a run.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree there.
Now, very short run, really. And he was really known for just having 2 guys, but pretty big in the WWE at the time. Fantastic look. Oliver Humperdinck.
Oh, God. Oliver Humperdinck is actually, hold on, let me look this up. Wrong guy. My bad. Oliver Humperdinck, he's not going to crack my top 10. I don't know why I confused him with somebody. Who the heck am I thinking of? I don't know why. He's actually still with the company. He's just a backstage guy. I don't know why I can't remember this guy's name, but yeah. Tell me your thoughts on Humperdinck.
Very short run, great clients. Yeah, Bam Bam Bigelow forever. So, but man, it's too small of a client list. It was just really noticeable guy, but it was a short run at WWE, you know? So I wouldn't put him in. Now, here's another one that I think we could disqualify because we're only down to 2 spots. The Million Dollar Man was Undertaker's original manager, and then
very
he managed Lex Luger in the WWE. And then
Psycho
Sid, and then he went to WCW, and he was in the background of the NWO. So, what are we doing with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase?
I like the Million Dollar Man, but I mean, when you think Million Dollar Man, you don't think manager, you think wrestler.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I think as well. Here was the guy I was going to mention who still works for WWE and is one of the nicest dudes backstage. Harvey Whippleman. Do you remember Harvey Whippleman?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, he was a good dude.
He had a short run with the WWE chasing Undertaker. The problem is they saddled him with the Giant Gonzalez.
That is a problem. That was definitely a problem.
That was one of the cases where the manager's hurt by his client and not the other way around.
I feel like I got the guy, man. I got the guy that can round out our list here.
All right. We're missing 8 and 9. I was thinking Slick. Is that the guy you're thinking about?
Nope. I am thinking Classy Freddie Blassie.
Yes. Pencil Neck Geek. I think he belongs in there.
Great promo. Yeah, he was one of the original managers.
Great promo. And he just worked from, you know, come on. He was introduced as from Beverly Hills. Okay. He was money hungry, right? So money hungry that he decided, you know what? I'm going to represent the tag champions who just happened to be a traitor to America who is now with Saddam Hussein. And
wild.
Yes. It was Admiral Akbar, right? And the Iron Sheik, right? That was the whole team, right? That was the whole group?
Nikolai Volkov.
Yes.
Was in there as well.
Yes. So Classy Freddie Blassie deserves either 8 or 9. What are you thinking?
Yeah, tons of heat there. I'm throwing him at number 8 on my list. Are you sure we don't have 10 here? Because we've named Paul Heyman, Bobby Heenan, Jim Cornette, Paul Bearer, Sensational Sherry, Jimmy Hart, Captain Lou, J.J. Dillon, Paul Ellering, and Freddie Blassie. That's 10.
You sure? I got Bobby Heenan, Paul Heyman, Jim Cornette, Paul Bearer, Sensational Sherry, Jimmy Hart, Captain Lou, Classy Freddie Blassie, and J.J. Dillon at number 10. I got number 9 open.
Are you not putting Paul Ellering on the list?
No, I did not. Although if you want to put him, because there's one guy that I think is tough.
Let me hear it.
Mr. Fuji.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So Mr. Fuji or Paul Ellering. That's who we're choosing between now. I mean, we can do some honorable mentions here. I'm looking at a list right now just to refresh my memory. You got people like Stephanie McMahon on this list.
Short run.
When she was managing.
Triple H.
Yeah, Mr. Fuji on the list for sure. Who else do we got here? Vicky Guerrero. I actually kind of really like that one.
Yes.
She had so much heat. So much heat. Again, kind of a short run, and then she did the commissioner's role and did a great job in that, but that's not a manager. But I do like mentioning Vicky Guerrero in the honorable mention here. You mentioned, you got Slick, you got Teddy Long.
The Grand Wizard.
Can you say Grand Wizard anymore in 2024?
No, you can't. Although he did represent superstar Billy Graham and originally Sergeant Slaughter. He was one of those heel managers that were always chasing but never caught anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like Bobby Heenan. I thought Bobby Heenan was just so great. I forgot which WrestleMania it was where, like, this was just spectacular booking. He went into WrestleMania with every single belt. And like 6 matches, and he lost every single match. And at the end of it, he was doing commentary for like the co-main event because he still had one more main event to go. I think he had, he might have even had Andre the Giant against Hulk Hogan. And all I remember is that he was completely quiet. He was obviously working us, okay? So he was completely quiet, and Gorilla Monsoon keeps goading him like, "Why are you quiet, Bobby?" And he's like, "I've lost every damn match in this whole pay-per-view, Gorilla. Like, why the hell do you want to hear from me anyway? You know what?" And then he just left in the middle of the co-main event, which I believe was Hart Foundation defending their titles against the Rougeaus, maybe, something like that. He just left in the middle of the match. "I got to get ready for the main event. I'm out of here."
Yeah, I mean, he was phenomenal. He really, really was. He also has a very good book out there if you're interested in learning more about Bobby Heenan. I would recommend that one. So I think I am going to give my final slot to Paul Ellering. I think
right.
I will give it to him. I don't know how you feel about that, but.
Yeah, let's do it. So 1A, 1B, or 1 or 2 or 2 or 1, either way you want to put it, Bobby Heenan, Paul Heyman are 1 or 2. Jim Cornette is number 3. Paul Bearer, number 4. Sensational Sherry, number 5. Jimmy Hart, number 6. Captain Lou Albano, number 7. Classy Freddie Blassie, number 8. Paul Ellering, number 9. And his Wall Street Journal, so great. And J.J. Dillon, number 10.
Boom.
Have you
that
ever dressed as any of these guys for Halloween? Because I just noticed I dressed as one of these guys for Halloween.
Who was it?
Paul Ellering.
I was hoping it was Sensational Sherry.
Yeah. One time we were going to a party, me and a couple of friends of mine, right? And we were just sitting around, right? And we were just talking. And this is a while ago. This is like, you know, 12, maybe 15 years ago. Okay. And we're sitting around and we're talking about it. Like, no, we got invited to this thing. We're going to go, right? And I'm like, yeah, we got to go. And he goes, yeah, but it's, you know, must have an outfit. You got to be dressed. If not, you're not allowed in. So we start throwing names out. We'll do this, we'll do that. And I'm like, man, all of this is kind of lame. And I don't know how the hell it came to me. But I guess it came to me because I just looked at my friends. And one of them played linebacker in college. The other was a teammate of mine at Hialeah Miami Lakes in the 90s. Pretty big guys. Kind of buff. And I said, you guys are the Road Warriors. And I'm Paul Ellering.
I love it.
And it was the easiest thing I ever did. I just threw on a suit with a red shirt. I already had a goatee. I put on sunglasses and I got a Wall Street Journal and rolled it up.
There it is. That's easy. I have not dressed as any of these managers for Halloween, but going back to the start of this episode, I did go as Tua Tagovailoa a couple of years back.
Nice.
And I'm actually friends with former Dolphins defensive tackle Earl Mitchell. And when I posted a picture of it, he commented on the picture because I had some actual team issued aqua pants that I was wearing with the jersey. And he said, those pants are too official, because he recognized them right away as the team issued pants. But but yeah.
Oh, my God. Who's your favorite,
Alf, before,
on this list, by the way?
On Paul Heyman's my favorite.
Yeah, I agree.
Jim Cornette, probably close second for me. Yeah. Bobby Heenan, obviously, as well. But, you know, just great history here. And this was a fun time. This was a fun time coming up with this list with you. I'm going to be honest, Alf. It's been a fun time doing this show, the off season with you for the last 12 weeks, you know, over almost 3 months now at this point. Like I said earlier, time flies when you're having fun, and this was a blast. I want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of the 3YPC network here, being on the feed every single week, and I want to thank everybody who listened to these episodes and had a good time with us here in the chats as well. So appreciate them, and once again, I appreciate you, Alf. So thank you very much.
No problem. And once once these camp reports are done, we will get back into a rhythm on our Discord. That's discord.gg/onlyfins. We'll get back into the rhythm of doing a Q&A live every single week. And you might hear and see Merrick Brave participating in a few of those. But stay tuned to those.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, Merrick, tell the people where they can get all of your stuff, your merch, if they want to even train with you, how they can get in touch with you.
Yes. So, I mean, there's a reason we talk a lot of wrestling on this show, and that's because I've made it my life for the past 21 years. I am the head coach alongside Seth Rollins at the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy here in Davenport, Iowa. If you'd like more information on that, you can head to our website, blackandbravewrestling.com. If you'd like to buy some of our t-shirts, which I did send a couple out to Alf last week, and he's enjoying them a great deal, you can head over to blackandbravemerch.com, pick up some of those cool designs. Or if you just like to follow us on social media, you can follow us at Black and Brave on Twitter, at Black and Brave Wrestling on Instagram, and my personal social media is at mbrave13 on both Twitter and Instagram. So hopefully I'll catch you guys there. Otherwise, like Alf said, I'll be popping in on some of these Q&A lives just because, I can't stay away from the people for too long.
All right. Training camp next week, people. See you then.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Offseason with American Alf. Until next time, raise your fins, raise your glasses, and we'll talk to you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.